hard being a dope fiend, and it's even harder running a crew.
Staying in. Ooh. Two.
Billy's not ready.
I'm ready.
One.
Billy's not ready.
Everybody, welcome to Hardcast. Yes. Episode who knows fucking what. This is the Duress Crew year in review.
Year
in review.
As they're insisting in calling it the year in review.
It's Episode 7.
I think it's 8. Doesn't matter. All today.
Right. I think it's just a little yellow, which is healthy.
Today we are doing a look back on what we have accomplished, somewhat of a victory lap for the Duress Crew, just chit-chatting about the past year. Today we have 5 people on the podcast, so this could either be the worst or best episode that we have made. But my name is Bradley Stone, and we are going to go right now and do some introductions. So fellas, starting with Jay, introduce yourself and tell the audience,
spoiler,
if your personality was a weather forecast, what would it look like?
Oh, jeez. Okay. I didn't actually read the question, so I'm
That's
not
That was
prepared.
The point. Nobody was supposed to know the question.
Yeah, well, I know that Nick is over here cheating, so, you know.
I'm cheating?
Peeking over the teacher's shoulder.
Yeah, it's been Googling,
I gave
like,
you the last
weather forecast personality.
hang on. Answer the question.
Yeah,
There's 5 of us.
Anyways.
What's your name?
My name is Jay McCowan. What's going on, everybody? I would probably be a tornado, but like a small tornado.
Oh.
Not like, you know, it'll knock your mobile home over, but it won't like necessarily kill you.
A New England tornado.
New England tornado.
Microburst.
Yes.
A strong breeze.
Yeah, you know.
I'm up next. I'm Billy Mills Curran. Do you guys remember last summer when there were those wildfires in Quebec and it was all like hazy?
And like everywhere smelled out? Like smoke.
Imagine if that was black and mild smoke instead.
Nice.
Ooh.
You know, like when it's in the middle of winter. I'm sorry, Nick here, Nick Mayo. You remember, like, you know, in the winter where you're thinking about the summer and you're like, oh, I can't wait for it to like, get warm, and then it finally gets warm, you realize it fucking sucks. That's my weather forecast.
So not fool spring, but when it actually gets.
When it, warm. Yeah, like the Hell's Front Porch or whatever. Yeah.
Mm.
All right, Nick is blistering hot.
I'm Ben. I was on the first episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been on every episode in spirit.
I have.
Right?
I've listened to almost all of them.
By force.
Sometimes I don't listen to them.
Yeah. You have no option but to listen to them. Our chief editor.
Yeah.
The man that makes everything sound amazing.
Oh, I do try. It's going to... I'm just rain.
Ben's a rainy
just
day.
Just a little bit of rain. Just shitty rain.
I am Bradley Stone, and I would like to think that I am, like, a cool day in Death Valley. I'm just no wind, no life.
You're rain, too.
I'm just feeling the winter blues already. Burn the fuck out. Can barely keep myself on top of pre-modern magic in general. The burnout's real, but I'm powering through it.
I feel
we're getting
like you're
these
more
episodes out.
I feel like you're more like the weather forecast, where it's like one day they say it's going to be sunny, and the next day they say it's going to be rainy, the next day it's going to be sunny and rainy, and no one just knows it's going to happen.
True.
Until the day of.
Pure wild card. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really decide.
Roll out of bed, just, that's what it is.
Because it is hard to make plans with you.
Much is it?
Like when you don't know what the weather is going to be.
True. All right, yeah. Fair.
Damn,
so today, the main story, as I said, is the year in review. We're going to be covering a wide swath of topics, including, but not limited to, Eternal Weekend 2024, the Massachusetts Monthlies, the Duress Crew Quarterlies, LobsterCon 2024, the beginning of Hardcast, taking on the role of LobsterCon 2025, and of course we are going to be giving our takes on the meta because that is the hot thing to do right now. Everybody's doing it, so you know, we got to get our voice in there and give some props and slops and all that type of stuff.
Can't wait.
The inspiration for this episode came when I saw a picture of Nick and I from 2023 Eternal Weekend, and it was like, holy shit, this feels like 5 years ago looking at this picture.
It does.
And it's literally been 1 year, and so much has happened that I just thought that it was time for us to take an official victory lap, look back on everything that's happened, we had to get Nick on his first official episode, as he has been
soft
band, hard band, however you want to say it. Nick was not allowed.
He banned himself.
He did ban himself, yes.
Smartly.
I did ban myself, and we'll get into that.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the Hardcast.
Best decision you've ever made.
I know.
Oh, man.
True. Yeah, I'm like, probably episode 4, I'm just like sitting there groveling like, God. Nick, can you just get on the show and write stuff? Because I'm sick of doing this already.
I don't want to do this anymore.
I have never felt that way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not well, once.
You're a masochist, though.
Next episode's on you, then. How about that?
Sure.
All right. Just a deep dive in ability?
Sure.
I like the mind
wherever Billy wants to go.
Oh, man.
The mind of Mincy. It's Billy.
Rated mature, for sure.
But we got this, or I have this broken down into some parts, and the first part that we are going to be going over today is building the tournament structure in Massachusetts. Nick, you were pretty much the rock, the anchor, in getting the scene going. It happened, I guess, in 2023, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, because
our first monthly ever was, I believe, December 7th?
16th.
December 16th, 2023?
Yeah. 2023.
December 16th. I have it right here.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So, it was December 16th, because we were at Turner Weekend, December 7th.
Oh, true.
That's
true.
Right, what you're
that was
of.
The date, yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I just want to kind of highlight the growth of the local scene when it comes to these weeklies, the monthlies, all that stuff. Like, we started so small, and now we are going up an escalator as far as growth goes.
So, we're going to be talking about this, and if any of you are in a local scene, this is how you get from maybe getting, you know, a once a month where you like get 8-10 people event giving out store credit. This was our experience.
That was literally where we were at.
Yeah. This is where we were last year. And this was our experience, and this is our testimony to, if you think Milwaukee's hot shit, or actually no, Milwaukee's actually pretty all set.
Yeah,
but like if like what's like an up and coming Atlanta,
Denver.
Mm. So like if you think Denver is hot shit and has potential, like this was our experience. Like part of pre-modern is like community building. It's something we value, and this like isn't a secret. I don't know. This might sound kind of.
No, I like
haughty.
I'm with you.
But well, this is the point. Is we get to have right? our moment.
Yeah, yeah, this
in the
is
sun.
This is our moment, but I just mean
this
to say
is our
that
bragging
like
rights.
This like a more year from rain. Now, you could be running consistently 60 plus person events.
True.
You know, and giving out mock diamonds and shit. Like this is how you do it. Or this is how we did it. You can do it different and better. Who knows?
So my first question at Nick, what inspired you to take the leap in creating the scene in the first place?
So I got to give a shout out to Mark Lorenz, who used to play pre-modern with us, because he was playing Pioneer at Great Stories, and they came up to him and said, hey, we got this 12 o'clock slot open on Saturdays. Do you guys want to use it for anything? And he had started playing pre-modern with us, and that's how the week we started.
I don't think I've even met him.
Mark?
Oh, Mark.
You know who Mark is,
Mark. I've never heard his last name.
You know who
literally
Mark.
Never heard his last name.
You know
name.
Who Mark is. All right. So, Mark helped set up the weeklies at Great Stories.
He did.
As Mark got out of Free Modern, I sort of became the de facto person for, like, texting people and asking if they're going to the event and, like, trying to organize it and promote it and stuff like that. And eventually, Great Stories came up to us with the idea of the bigger events, which were the regionals. So that was probably the moment where I was like, oh, we have something going on here. Like, we have weeklies going on, usually 8 to 10 people.
I even want to take a step back, though, before the monthlies. What prompted the weeklies?
So this was back in January of 2023. So this is way back.
Way
this
history.
Is way back.
But I actually want to know because I wasn't there for it. I was still living in Oregon.
That's true.
It's
when
true.
The scene first started firing up.
So I met Mark at our holiday party in 2022. And he played pre-modern with us and was really into it. And again, that whole story I just went through. He was at Great Stories all the time, and he was so jazzed about pre-modern. He's like, yeah, let's start these weeklies. And that's how we started. That's basically it. It was just us, too, right?
Right.
Like, that's how we met Jay.
Yeah, I started playing, I think, February of 2023. I just stumbled into the store, and I think it was Mark might have been like, hey, you should check out this format. You know, and I think I swung by on a Saturday and was just like looking at, you know, you guys playing, and I think I remember watching you play. I think you were playing Blue White Red The Solution.
What?
Yeah, this is just like
you haven't been playing pre-modern longer than me.
Huh? No, I think I saw you playing The Solution. Somebody
what am
else
I
was,
doing with my
somebody else was playing. Somebody else was playing Mono Blue Storm at the store, and I remember asking somebody and being like, "Why did they not play High Tide?" Like, oh, like yeah. It was just like that was like, I don't get this. Right. Like, what? And I think their response was, "The man, I can't handle it," or something.
Oh, the mana? Like, yeah. As you were watching me play Solution?
Yeah.
Did you watch me just sit with, like, watch my gemstone, whatever's, just hit the yard?
But yeah, it was fucking awesome. I love playing the weeklies, and
Okay, so the weeklies started 2022, and...
Yeah, 2023, January.
Sorry, 2023. How long did it take before, like, it finally caught on and we didn't have to stack the room anymore?
I would say fall of 2023, maybe. Okay. Around like Eternal Weekend, honestly, around when we did our first regional, honestly. Like, I was messaging people weekly being like, you know, are you gonna show up? Like,
people
I remember that,
like, Bryn, you know, Bryn was like, I'm gonna drive 2 hours to this weekly, is it gonna fire? And yeah, I was like, yeah, well, I'm gonna have to make sure people show up. And of course it was always like, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
I remember the weeklies were always firing pretty consistently. There was a period of a few months that I know I didn't show up late that year, but I think we tried really, really hard for the first regional to fill that room
for winter.
Yeah,
like, I thought so.
Yep. Like, we went really hard to fill that. Yep.
On the first regional.
Yep. We got 37 players for it.
It was about
So it was around fall, and that was around the same time that Great Stories proposed us doing a bigger event.
Okay.
And supporting it.
Okay. Because that was after LobsterCon.
Yes.
And Pre-Modern was definitely taking off more and more, like, kind of in the northeastern area. The weeklies started to become a little more stacked. And it was right before we went down to Eternal Week in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it wasn't too long after Lantax got banned.
Yeah.
For, like, time frame.
Okay, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I will highlight that Eternal Weekend 2023 was, like, a pretty big moment, I think, for a lot of us. Just kind of as a crew coming together and, like, having a lot of homie time. Like, taking a long-ass car ride down to an event. Putting in a shit ton of work to our decks, like, so much tuning had gone into that leading up to it, and it was, like, the first time that, I mean, we had all obviously been hanging out together forever, but, like, we hadn't necessarily done one of those types of trips where, like, we all got in a car together and went down and did that type of thing. So I felt like Eternal Weekend 2023 was a big turning point in terms of hype. And in terms of just kind of the crew getting even tighter than it had been before that.
Notably, that was the first instance of red being put into the Oath Ponza deck.
It was. It was. And it was my first major tournament testing out Meddling Mage and Terrageddon.
Yep.
I know that really, like, well, I had been jamming Terrageddon for quite a while, and then I was, like, trying to find the missing piece, and I put in Meddling Mage, and I started, like, crushing our weeklies. But my immediate thought was, like, am I just, like, winning because I know what my opponent is on and I'm able to, like, slam this Meddling Mage super early and just, like, name the key piece and just, like, shut him down? Or is this, like, actually real? And then Eternal Weekend, I went 4-1-1 and hit 9th place and just bubbled out of top 8. But it was, like, very much the validating experience of, like, oh, this shit's actually real.
Yeah, that event was an actual nightmare.
Yeah.
Besides Nick Pin winning, that was an actual nightmare.
Right.
Also, first tournament with the track jackets.
Yeah.
So we were walking around with those.
Yeah.
That was sick.
Yeah, those things are infamous now.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who has traveled to a Magic event with all your homies, you know, whether it's old GP days or whatever, they know that kind of shared trauma. The long drives, the just nothing to talk about, and then experiencing the highs and lows of, oh, you know, your buddy's about to top 8, or I just 0-2 scrubbed out, whatever it may be. It's a lot of fun. It's a fantastic experience.
It was awesome.
So maybe we kind of answered this question already a little bit, but in any of y'all's opinion, what was the turning point when you realized the community was really starting to take shape in the Northeast, in Massachusetts? Like, did anybody have kind of like an epiphany, aha moment when it was like, oh, this shit's, like, actually clicking and like really coming
for me
together.
It was the second regional.
Same, that's my answer also.
Yeah, it, as soon I mean like we said, we got 37 people at the first regional,
which felt like a big turnout.
Which felt like a huge turnout.
Oh, yeah.
I was insanely proud of us for hosting and promoting an event, but like we went out of our way to like, hey, do you have any friends that might like this format? Like, get their butts in the seat. Like we tried our best.
Yeah, like reaching out to everybody
to get that 37. Like we pushed it, and then, I mean, we still did all the same promoting and everything. But for the next regional to just about double our numbers, 68 players,
right.
That blew me away.
Yeah,
it was a way bigger of a turnout than I ever could have expected, and that was really the moment where I was like, holy shit, like this is actually like.
Clicking.
Yeah, this is working out.
Yeah.
I think mine was a little earlier. I think mine was the first monthly after we had started to collaborate with ELD.
Yeah.
We had 38 people.
Mm.
True.
In his, you know, shop. You know, like we went, I think the December monthly, like of 2023 had like 7 people or something, you know?
Before we had stepped in.
Before we stepped in and started working with them, and then the next month it was 38.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember
spilling
we
into
on
the Chinese restaurant next door.
Yeah, literally couldn't fit in the store.
I think, had we gone on a podcast to promote that event?
Oh, yeah, because you and I had the podcast with Will Hurst, I've Got Questions podcast, in December.
Yeah.
And we had talked about the region.
Community building.
We talked a little about community building and the monthly at, like, and what we were doing and stuff like that.
Yeah. Man, it's so hard to remember all this shit. It feels like it was so long ago.
That's what I'm saying, dude. It's been such a lot of stuff has happened in the last year.
Yeah, and I'll say, like, when I sat down to, like, start to write this episode, I was just like, where do I even begin right now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's just like, I mean, 2023 and 2024 blur together. And there's just, like, I can't even remember a month ago, let alone, you know, 8 months ago, whatever, so... Yeah, it's been wild. Did we have a stream at the first regional?
No.
Okay, was it the second one that the stream started? Okay.
I think we had an extremely basic version of the overlay going. We had my camera, we had the tripod, but we didn't have like...
What? Where? For what?
For the spring regional.
No, spring regional we...
We didn't
or no,
stream.
Wait, no. No, we didn't stream. No, sorry.
The
it was,
summer one we
yeah,
did.
The summer one was the first one. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
We talked about doing the spring one, but
yes,
we were kind of like...
That was a test
We
one.
Did not, yeah.
We were like, we don't know how big this is going to be, we don't want this
to be,
like, we'll,
yeah.
we'll just do it as we do it,
sorry. It was the...
Okay, so
the
we
summer
went...
One.
Yeah, and I feel like the stream really did an incredible job of, like, bringing the world's... Or getting the world to kind of see what was going on in Massachusetts, you know
For
what
sure.
I mean? Like, once we're able to put everything on camera and promote those numbers and kind of, like, get some faces out there and all that type of stuff, like, I think that the stream was instrumental. And all the props in the world to you, Jay, for your coding.
thank you.
Dedicated coding and putting in so much effort into making that overlay look
for
amazing.
Sure.
Getting the tablet going, that connected to the life, like, just all that shit is... Just revolutionized.
It was, I know I've talked about this before, but like growing up, absolutely like foundational years for me were when I was a teenager playing Magic and watching those like SCG open streams.
Oh, yeah.
Every weekend. And just like having that up on my computer or TV or whatever. And getting to watch, you know, see the same names, see the storylines. See how the decks change every week. That was one of the coolest things for me, and was a huge thing for me. So being able to try and replicate that was kind of a dream.
Yeah.
And so getting the opportunity to be like after that spring regional where we all of a sudden, you know, nearly double the number. Okay, we're at almost 70 players. Like, I don't want to say that nobody wants to watch, you know, a 4-round weekly or whatever, but it's less fun. There's less stakes.
Right.
It's a little bit less interesting. All of a sudden, you start pushing those kind of numbers, though, and it's like, we could actually make something out of this. We could hopefully give somebody, you know, give people now what I think largely is missing, which is paper Magic coverage. And
especially for pre-modern
for pre-modern so yeah, having the opportunity to do that and actually provide that to the community, I think was so cool and really just a dream come true. So I really appreciate everybody who is, you know, either played on camera or helped me out or, you know, accepted, you know, like shouts to you and Maddie for, you know, putting in the hours commentating that first regional.
Yeah.
It's totally just so much fun. It's been a blast.
All right. Yeah, there you go. So coming back seamlessly from our pizza break.
Our pizza bake?
Homemade tonight. Eggs on our face. We did not make the food tonight. Are there any changes that you guys would like to make to our current structure? Open fields, anybody can answer.
Our what current structure?
Our current structure of tournaments.
Oh, of tournaments.
Ooh. Structurally, I don't think so. But I know you had ideas on, like, the details of the event, right? Like,
well, my idea that I was pretty interested in maybe trying to pursue but haven't had the brain power to put towards it was changing the quarterlies and or monthlies into a league rather than isolated events where players built points based on performance and we did some type of invitational event at the year's end for people based on their performance.
I think that's a cool idea.
I think it's a cool idea too.
But it has we'll get into FITFO at some point.
The direct crew FITFO mentality.
Yeah, yeah. I got that entirely off.
Billy's going to have the FITFO mentality covered later.
No problem.
But it gets into the category of, wouldn't it be sick if...
Right.
You want a list, I'll make you a list.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it really comes down to the idea of just somebody throwing out a great idea, and then it's just like, all right, who the fuck's going to do it?
Right.
So this was a major crew... like emotional development probably within the last like 5 months was this thing called FITFO, where
what does FITFO stand for, Billy?
It stands for
figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, figure it the fuck out. So the thing is that it would be cool if we had bucket hats, it would be cool if we had Adidas slip-ons, like we have all these ideas about like a league, whatever.
And certain it's like, types of recording.
Yeah,
like, you exactly. know,
T-shirt ideas.
Like, yeah. Yeah, and it's like, okay, man, go do it. Like, you want people to start showing up to your weeklies, spend $60 on stickers, figure it the fuck out, download some free software. There's ChatGPT. Start handing out the stickers. Go buy something out of your own pocket and saying, I'm going to give a null rod to the winner of this tournament. Just like vomit it into the Discord, people will show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just making it happen, and it's literally just figuring out how the fuck to do it all. Because, yep. I mean, Hardcast is the perfect example where I had never done a podcast before. I had never done anything with audio capturing, anything like that. And I literally just sat down with ChatGPT and my laptop, downloaded the programs, and just figured it the fuck out. I wanted to make a stamp for LobsterCon 2024 for Duress Crew. Didn't know how to do that, sat down, figured it out.
Yeah, then you called your friend who has, like, years and years of audio engineering experience.
True.
That's true. Ben didn't need to figure anything out.
But that's a positive.
Sounds like shit.
If you have those resources in your life, utilize them. Ooh. Like, if you have a friend that knows how to do something, fucking ask them. Like, figure it the fuck out.
Friend has a null rod
does
to
not mean by
donate
yeah, does,
to prize
the fuck out does not mean you have to do everything yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
It might mean somebody has to take the first step.
That's
and that
is.
Person is you.
That's what it is that somebody has to sit down and actually take the lead.
Ooh, nice
and
hiss.
Say,
nice, Nick.
I am doing this.
Exactly.
I am the one that is going to spearhead this movement and, you know.
Take that first step.
Nice, Nick. It's kind of been Nick in a lot of the...
True.
For a lot
of some of the things.
For sure.
Making it happen from ideas to reality.
Nick was the original one to really encapsulate the FITFO mentality and just do so much shit and was the crutch of Duress Crew for so long. But I think in like the past let's say, 6 months.
Oh, 100%.
A lot of people have stepped up.
Oh, I mean, especially, yeah, you two especially, yeah. And Jay and, like, everyone.
Yeah.
So much more shit's getting done now.
Yeah. So this is a very good segue, since we're doing a year in review. Let me know if I'm throwing you off.
No.
Probably.
The podcast, the birth of the podcast.
Sure. Okay, I mean, no, we can get into the podcast natural launch segues. Before we go into the other things that I had lined up before the podcast launch, if that's what you want to do.
Let's go into the podcast. So, because it was, this was you were saying. So we made a podcast. That's something we did this year.
Yeah.
It's a little bit out of chronological order.
That's fine. But, okay. it goes good. We're going to work it all together.
This is something that we had, like, always kind of been wanting to do.
For a good 6 months, at least.
Maybe
even longer.
It had always been a thing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, almost like performing on stage, where it's like, it is incredibly intimidating.
Yeah.
But it's actually just, you just spend the money and, like, do a couple practice runs and you just go for it.
Right.
And, like, we're improving, we're getting better. Our podcasts are getting more sophisticated. Y'all are watching this in real time.
True.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the first question that I had then
actually this was is recorded.
Yeah.
Just discussing, you know, what made any of you guys want to get this going? Why did we even want to start the podcast in the first place?
Can I tell from my perspective?
Yeah, that's what. That's...
All right, sweet. So, it was after day two of LobsterCon. It was Saturday night. We were winding down from the weekend. Well, not really. We're actually all drinking quite a bit.
So you're talking about the actual moment.
I'm talking about the actual moment.
It was like, this shit is happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was super tired from running LobsterCon day two.
I was heavily inebriated.
Brad was very drunk. Tony drove us back from the venue because in Brad's car.
Yeah.
Because Brad couldn't drive. And Brad said, Nick, let's start a podcast.
I was like, let's just fucking do it.
And I said, no. And Billy was the arbiter between us.
Right. There was three of us sitting on the couch, kind of in the corner.
I remember that I was the only one sober for this conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just saying. But so there's a bit of background to this. So this is right when, Nick, you may have noticed, probably in the past 4 months or so, that I've been, like, kind of defensive about, like, not asking you to do things.
Yes.
It was this was contextual about, like, Nick has done quite a bit for the crew. I think it is fair to say that he has done the most if we were going to assign hierarchy to it. And his exhaustion was showing.
Yo, big time. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Nick was burnt out.
I caught on to this, and I think that I was the first person, not the first person, or rather, I remember distinctly remembering as an individual, like, what should I be doing to change my behavior about this?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here, like, mulling this over, being, like, trying to brush back, like, you know what? I can order stickers. Or I can collect top 8 data or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was small things at first.
It was
like,
small things
I'll
at
collect
first.
The data and post it to MTG.
Exactly,
copy.
Yes.
I will do whatever.
And so I'm going through this where I'm, like, trying not to, like, stand for my friend, I guess. I don't know what the word is. I'm trying to
ball wash too hard.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Like, how do I do this? How do I support my friend in, like, a socially graceful way? And I'm like, I'm here and I'm the only sober one for this conversation. And you two are negotiating. And I...
Yeah, I'm, like, trying to come to some sort of compromise with Nick as to, like, how the fuck I'm going to get him on board with this.
So, Brad, you're being very passionate about it because you care and you're invested and, like, you're willing to do the work. And, like, Nick is running out of gas and, like, actually making choices about what he does and does not want to work towards and have to, like, perform triage. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I, like, participate in this? And the thing that I had been noticing in Nick when I came to this realization of exhaustion is that Nick is capable of manipulation. And that sometimes Nick does...
Peer pressure.
Nick does this trick where he will...
What do I do, Billy?
This is something that I've noticed. It might just exist in my head. But I had noticed that you'll go, like, fine, do it. Like, and what's interesting about it is it has a lot of emotional utility to it, because what you're doing is you're no-ballsing someone, and you go like, no balls, you won't start a podcast, which is like you wanted the podcast to happen. You want to rescue to have a podcast. Yeah. That's something you value.
Yeah.
But so by no-ballsing someone to do it, you're actually doing that, like, the dentist, like, I play both sides, so I always come out on top. Because if they do it, then you're like, sick, I have a podcast now. Or rather, my friends have a podcast, and, like, this is, you know, something that...
my crew.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. For the glory of the crew. The crew grows ever more glorious.
Yes.
But if the podcast doesn't get made, you get something more in your pocket to go, see, told you so, I didn't want shit to do with that.
Yeah.
So it's very...
Yeah.
And I'm shocked we got him on before episode, like, 25.
But yeah, so I'm the only one sober for this conversation, and...
This conversation, too, by the way.
True. That is also true.
Yes. Yeah.
Cheers, by the way.
Everybody's got their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Right.
Cheers.
All
right.
Yeah. Yep. So here I am, like, watching Nick brush back and say, I have nothing the fuck to do with this. And I'm catching on that Nick is both out of gas and that he's, like, doing his trick. And also that Brad is, like, fucking hyped as all hell.
Yes.
Because you do care, and it's, like, something we've always been wanting to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, like, how do I make this happen? And it's like, okay, like, what does a hard band sound? Nick, like, no, Nick, me and Brad have this covered. Nick, you're banned. We don't want you on the podcast.
This is where the band, like,
exactly.
The whole band discussion started from. Yeah.
Yeah. So, which I think was, like, a very good way to approach it, because then it's like, then you can immediately go, I don't care, I'm banned, I have nothing to do with this. So it's like just a big of just, like, emotional utility of just, like, being able to fuck off and, like, not give a shit. And if it crashes and burns, then you're like, you're
egg
in the
on
clear.
Your face.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it took a lot of negotiating and, like, awareness of your friends and what they care about and how they deal with things. But here we are making bullshit for our dear listeners.
And I mean, Nick is still technically banned, you know, for a year in review, my idea was to get a lot of people on that have done the most work and put in so much countless hours and time.
Plus me, because I had to be here.
And I mean, you've done the time, though, as well. You know, you've been on these episodes, editing them.
Ooh, I've set that camera rig up. Oh, so many times.
Sure.
Yeah, Ben said. Yep. Yeah, Ben was
I
out
almost
in the
know
rain.
How to do it. I almost know how to do it first try.
Yeah.
Without having to unscrew
but
something.
Nick is still banned, but, like, I think that this is kind of like, this is the funsy episode. This is the victory lap. And, you know, you got to have the skipper on for this type of shit.
Yeah,
so.
For, no, for sure. No, I remember Billy said, Nick, what episode number do you want to be on? Like, for us to prove about, like, the hardcast POC, what episode do you want to be on? I said 11. He said, on one hand, what an episode number do you want to be on?
And we get you on 9.
I got me on 9.
Is that
so,
what, is it 9?
Well, Billy said 7, Brad said 8, you said 9.
We
so,
did do
I don't
a
know.
Bunch of mini episodes.
Yeah, the mini episodes count as an episode.
Sure.
Each.
Well, I thought there were like 4.
So this is like 20. 12.
Yeah, we'll count them, whatever, man. Yeah. Nobody's keeping track.
Yeah.
But...
Someone should keep track.
I'm going to say that from my perspective, my spark for getting us in the ring and getting ourselves out there is that I wanted to break up the fucking circle jerk that has been the major mainstream pre-modern discourse up until this point. And I think that we're doing a pretty good job at it. And I say circle jerk in the most loving way, but I think that pre-modern so far has really had... just this kind of clickiness to it when it comes to, like, who gets to get on a microphone, who gets to talk about it. It has been the same faces, like, and the same voices over and over again. And I really wanted to just, like, break that up and be like, you know, there's more out there. There's more people out there. And I kind of hope that more people start podcasts because I'll listen to them. But I wanted to kind of just break up the status quo and get some more voices out there, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to every single pre-modern podcast, and there have been a lot of points where I listen to these episodes and I'm like, this is horseshit. This is bullshit. The things that you guys are saying are wrong, you know? These are bad takes.
But never once are you just like, huh, that's interesting. That's pretty good. That's a pretty cool idea. Let me check that out.
I think that kind of feeds into, though, like, my whole opinion on you guys starting a podcast. And that is that we really, honestly, seriously need government regulations on, on who gets podcasting equipment.
In Germany?
Because,
no, I agree with
Germany. Because every motherfucker should not be able to purchase a mic off
Amazon can get an interface
and start posting podcast episodes.
Good.
Can I just say, we need to crack down on this.
In Germany, you need a license.
It truly was.
And that should be the way that it is.
It truly was my little bit of a, it was the fear of, like, when I heard about the podcast idea, one, I was just like, cool, I'm going to have to edit this.
Great.
And secondly, it was
another,
like,
six white guys.
Do we really? For fucking for real, though. Like, do we need another podcast? Do we need another one in the world? And
I want more.
No.
I want more.
We don't.
Especially when it comes to pre-modern.
But here we are, and if we're talking about pre-modern specifically, I mean, if I'm the one doling out these government-issued licenses, I think that, yeah, sure, we can...
Maybe
think,
we can earn it.
I think perhaps...
Maybe
I think
we
we've
earn
maybe,
it.
I think maybe we're qualified.
We play
maybe.
More pre-modern
maybe.
Than anybody on the planet.
We do. We
I
a
really think it's
yeah.
true.
It's we meet up true. Twice. Or, so,
yeah.
I mean, it's...
It slowed down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It's been waning a little bit lately, but we meet up twice a week, Tuesday, Thursday.
Yep.
We
yep.
play on Saturday.
Saturday. Yep.
And a bunch of us were grinding the
full
shit out
weekends.
Of MTGO.
I play yep. maybe every day at work.
Hell
at
yeah.
Least. And yep. then I'm not the only... Yeah, so that's...
I don't remember the last time I played pre-modern.
Well, Lance still, you can only get so many reps with
Lance. That's
true.
That's true.
And I'm,
Connor, your shit.
I'm trying to be the heel right now. You know, I'm 100% playing the heel
right.
and calling the it a circle jerk. But you know what? There's been a lot of shit takes on podcasts. There's been a lot of things that people have said that were wrong.
Shots
and,
fired! Shots fired!
Hell yeah, man.
As if
who?
This isn't just
like,
circle
jerk. That's for later in the episode.
Pre-modern.
Like who, Brad? Who's set? Who
name
had...
names. Don't
no,
actually name.
We're gonna get the,
this
that
entire segment
just
bleeped out.
We're skipping like half
I think
right now.
Had the worst take
okay.
on a podcast.
I can't wait to go in and edit this after and just throw a bunch of
oh my god
in just... over the things you said.
Sure.
Make it sound like
dude,
really
in that time
inflammatory
that
shit
said about. Oh my god!
Well, no, you know what? You know what? All right, here's the shining example to me is when I was hearing reviews. I don't know if reviews is the right word, but when I was listening to podcasts leading up to LobsterCon, and they were going through deck by deck and saying these are the strengths of this deck and these are the weaknesses, and everything was just purely shooting from the hip, just completely vibes. And there was, like, no concrete data to back any of these claims up. Like, just, you know, saying, this deck is good against this deck for these reasons. It's bad against this deck for these reasons. And I'm like, I've played these decks.
Right.
And I know that what you're saying right now is incorrect. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like, let's, like, fucking stop pretending that there's royalty out there in this.
Yeah.
In this scene.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there
yeah.
with unheard voices. Okay.
For sure.
And,
there's a lot of decks yet to be discovered. Look at the top eight of our last quarterly.
Yeah,
by
yeah.
way.
There's,
a,
right,
lot of there's right. a lot of untread territory, one. And then two, let me just really quick throw in. As someone who doesn't know who any of these people are behind the Discord, so I can't name names, I did see like a tier list before LobsterCon and was just like, no, this is like objectively bad.
Yeah.
like,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm not like the I'm not like the good player. And even I was just like,
right.
nah, no way.
Right.
like,
So I'm playing the heel right now, but that was 100% one of my reasons for wanting to get this thing off the ground. Let's get our voices in the arena. Let's stop pretending that there's royalty out there. Let's like let's get some other voices out there
and that brings
played
us
these
to...
games. No, we're not going there yet.
Oh,
we're not
got,
going there yet. I want to know.
Such a neat spreadsheet in front of you.
I know. I want to know what do you guys think about the tone of the podcast?
Derail it.
And how do you think it's been evolving so far? You know, we're about 12 episodes or whatever deep with the inclusion of the Eternal Weekend podcast. Jay, you obviously haven't listened to any episodes.
I
would say, unlike some people,
any.
Jay,
yeah,
I've listened,
don't even listen
I
to
feel like I'm getting called
I've
out
listened
here.
To most of them, and but all my only critiques are like mic etiquette
Sure.
Critiques.
All right, because right, that's
we'll
where
leave,
you're
coming we'll from. Leave those.
Right. Which we're, I think we're getting better with, right?
You're getting so good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
we're,
fine.
We're getting better.
The yeah. tone of it is, I think that we are staying true to our values of what we wanted to do. I think we wanted it to be kind of a potpourri, like highly pre-modern focused, but like have a good spread of just like just like bullshit. So that like chaotic, silly bullshit.
Right.
That we have human interest, like with the Hero Tom episode. Totally. And then like ultra technical with mm-hmm. the Rock and a Hard Cast.
Yeah.
And then just like having a like a really in-depth deck tech to talk about like the brewing and building process.
Yeah.
And then in another episode like being like openly trashed. so like we can do both.
Yeah.
And we're good at both. Yeah.
For real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Objectively, as somebody who's like only really listened to them, I will say I've enjoyed both sides.
Yep.
The storytelling, sometimes you want the in-depth, like especially like because it was survival rock, right? That was
yeah,
like
yeah.
a super. That's one that you really want like an in-depth like death deck tech.
Yeah,
on,
so
right?
many
yep.
singletons.
Yeah,
so many
right.
choices,
like exactly,
so many
and that's
options.
What I'm in for. And so it's like yeah. So again, my big. Critique is just like selfish audio stuff.
And I think that we've been evolving pretty well. I think that like I went back and, you know, was listening to the episodes and I think that we're making progress and I think that we're getting our cohesion together, especially Billy and I who have been, you know, doing a lot of the episodes together when it comes to interviews and such, and I think that we're starting to click. And we're starting to figure it out. And I'm stopping saying all the time. And, you know,
yeah.
speaking a little better and smarter, perhaps.
Yeah, you sound wicked smart, dude.
Wicked smart.
Yeah.
It's important to note that Brad is also the biggest All Things Considered fan on the planet.
True. That's another reason to start the podcast.
I think
it was simply to rip off All Things Considered. I was
yeah.
like,
you both
just
said All Things Considered.
No, that's what it is.
It's
All Things Considered.
All Things?
All Things Considered.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like balancing things. Yeah.
Shit, I thought I was catching you guys in
no,
like a flow.
No, you wish, buddy.
I just don't listen to that. I don't listen. I should check it
it's
out.
It's a really good podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I don't want to play favorites. I love so many pre-modern podcasts out there, but
All
I will
Things
say
Considered
that
is really good.
Regardless of the subject, I listen to every single ATC episode.
He has some old school stuff, too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, right,
well,
I think
you have
said
a new listener.
In your, like, charter to me when you were yes. on the couch drunk. You're like, Mono does a sick LobsterCon episode every year, man. Why can't we do one?
Yep.
I said, I want to go home and I don't want to talk about Magic for 3 weeks.
So yeah, after LobsterCon, yeah, for sure.
All right. Anything else anybody wants to say on this? Moving on to the next thing.
You didn't even give me a second to think about if there's anything.
You didn't have anything left to say.
No, I got
So, moving on, I want to highlight the major events, and especially the Duress Crew quarterlies. And the first thing that I want to hear about these are just kind of what are the most memorable stories that you guys have from these events? Is there anything that sticks out to you guys where, like, you remember something that happened?
The quarterlies?
Yeah. So we've done four of them now. You know, they've been really big days for all of us every time we do them.
Wow.
I'm gonna start it off. One of my favorite moments was getting to name Bryn's Wand of Denial prison deck Hitachi Magic Wand on stream. He messaged me that day asking what he should play for the tournament, and he sent me a couple deck lists, and I was like, dude, you need to play this Wand of Denial deck. And he was like, all right, I'll play it, but you get to name it. And I was like, all right, you're calling it Hitachi Magic Wand. And he was like, no. he's like, I'm just going to name it this or something. And I was like, whatever, like, fine. I was like kind of trying to get to the tournament. But I happened to be the one on stream. I was controlling the computer and all that shit. Round one, Bryn goes up, Hitachi Magic Wand Prison.
Yeah.
And I
no
recently,
bias in picking that round one feature.
Yeah, yeah, and sure I recently about. Saw somebody on Discord referencing it as Hitachi Magic Wand, and it just made me so happy.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was commenting. I'm like, done. Please let this die.
Yeah, like, you tagged me on it.
Get
yeah.
it in the ground.
I think it was Panda.
Yeah, it was Panda. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, and I was just like, that's awesome. I love that. Favorite moments, boys?
Jay?
Come on.
Oh, God. after the first, the what was it, the summer monthly, or monthly, sorry, regional, the summer month, or after the summer regional, just when we finished, the pure sense of accomplishment of just like, the stream went fucking fantastically. The tournament went flawlessly. We had basically no hitches. All my critiques were like very minor. It was just such a feeling of pure accomplishment.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. For sure.
There was no topping it because I will say like I had been spending weeks just like poring over how we're gonna make the stream work. How are we gonna like ins and outs of every single possible thing,
right?
And just wanting everything to be perfect
and troubleshooting
and troubleshooting
had done some test streams and stuff like that, and you had done a lot of troubleshooting.
Oh yeah, and every time something goes wrong, and as it always does, and even on the day of the actual event, like there were minor things that went wrong, but that like was inconsequential to just how proud I was of everybody for putting in the work and making it happen, because it was truly just looking at something and being like, holy fuck, we did that. Like we made that. And that was, it was really, really, it was an awesome feeling.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I have two favorite moments.
Cheer.
Yeah. One was, do you guys remember probably last spring when there was like kind of this moment in pre-modern media space when there was like a bit of like bitterness about the change in the environment?
Yeah,
it was mostly like the pre-COVID players, like the mm-hmm. graveyards. Yeah,
it was specifically when Flint went on yes. ATC yes. Yes. and yes. gave a state of the format or whatever yep. it was, yep. it was yep. like the State of the yep. Union address,
and when we all got together. And this was highly FITFO energy. When we're like, okay, we are going to do our part. We are going to make sure that we are part of the solution, and that we like these are not charity tournaments, but that like we are setting like a minimum floor of like community stewardship, and just being like, all right, what are we gonna do? And we're just like, fuck it. Charity raffle.
Yeah.
And like, where are we getting the cards? Our shit.
Yeah.
Like, all that charity stuff comes out from our shit.
Yep. Still does. To yeah. this day.
Still does to this day.
And James Keenan, a little bit.
Yeah. And James Keenan.
Shout
yeah.
out Sick Shout Deals.
Out Sick Deals.
Yeah. And just being like, who's it going to? Worcester County Food Bank. Fuck it. Like, yeah, they have a Venmo. Sweet. We're doing that. Cool.
Yep.
And just like making it happen. And now we've raised, there was a 2,000 ticket roll. And mm-hmm. it's getting, I think there's maybe about 80 left. So, like, we're hitting close to $2,000 donated to charity.
Yeah.
And it's just, so that's the first one. And then my second one is I was, like, the big voice in the room for the last one. Other people contributed significantly, but I was just the face for the day. And when I was doing the players meeting, I was like, hey, like, we get to do this shit. We get to do these events because we behave well and because we're mature and because we're a good crowd. Like, don't drink in the parking lot. Watch the potty language. Stay chill. Like, call a judge if you need to understand something, not to angle shoot. And just, like, everybody just, like, got it. And, like, all the players are, like, nodding along, like, yes, we get it.
Yeah.
And I believed them that they got it. And I look at Chris, the store owner, and him just being, like, you know, like, praying hands, just being like, you get it. And he believes, like, and just, like, this agreement of mutual trust that, like, we get to do something special. Like, that they trust us. The store trusts us. We trust them, like, between, like, the players, the tournament organizers, and the stores. Like, we all have this, like, trusting relationship. And that, like, saying it out loud and just seeing it, the look on everybody's face, that, like, yes, we are all on the same frequency.
Yeah. Yep. And I do feel like we've kept a really great community aspect, despite the fact that there's a lot on the line.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah. They're trusting us. Yeah. And
there's a lot on the line for the store, and there's a lot on the line for the players.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when you are playing, you're playing for, you know, $600 plus in prizing or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of money. Yeah, that's a good amount of money. Like that, that's an amount of money that people in other formats would be angle shooting and just like doing all sorts of bullshit to try and like one up their opponent.
The vibes have never not been immaculate.
Right. Yeah, and then you have like Jake Murphy going on the Hearst cast talking about giving Bryce a take back in the top eight.
Yeah, right. Today.
Which is just like amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Literally amazing. But, like, that's where you want
to
be.
I mean, shout out Nick Penn. Wasn't it Penn that pointed out to his opponent that his opponent could bounce his own dreadnought by flinging back a chain of vapor by sacking a land?
Yeah.
Like, on feature match was like, oh, you're not dead here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
immaculate
can,
vibes.
You know, you can do this, like, remember that you can recast my chain of vapor on my dreadnought. It was just like he lost the game because of that. He lost
it's just like, hey, look, I actually lose here.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
you actually have it.
I see you about to scoop your cards up, but that is wild. It's really funny.
Nick Wilbur stuck his hand out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He's like, okay, I lose.
Yeah. And he's like, no. Yeah, I'll shake your hand. But...
Nick slapped it aside and he said, "You idiot!
You idiot!
Read the card.
Extend your hand, but for the right reason.
For the victory.
For the victory, because you win, my friend."
Okay, that kind of weirdly works out because I had two favorites and that was my first one. Thanks, Jay.
Oh, cheater!
For
cheater,
stealing cheater. My wow. favorite.
Shit.
So, you know, I had two, but I'm only gonna tell one.
Well, now I'm gonna steal your favorite.
No,
I'm gonna try. I'm not gonna steal your favorite.
Good luck, man.
So
Dan, I haven't told a soul these stories.
My favorite moment at the regionals was one I wasn't at, was at the fall regionals. So when we're setting up the fall one, I worked with the store to pick a date, and I picked out November 9th. It was a date that I could work with. And then it turned out I had to go to Florida for a wedding. A toxic trait about me is that I'm a bit of a micromanager. I don't trust anyone to do anything right. I embody the whole, you want to do something right, do it yourself kind of mentality. And this is the first regional that I wasn't going to be at. This is the first one that I'm not going to be there. I got to leave it up to everyone else to run it without me. And being able to just tune into the stream and, like, see everything running smoothly, like, hearing the commentary, seeing the match, seeing the Nick Penn thing go on, like, it was such a good feeling that, like, to feel like everyone's, like, really picking it up over the past year to, like, make this thing a huge group effort.
Hell yeah.
And really embodying the spirit of the community.
And can I actually, I just want to chime in real quick on that. That you weren't just not being there in spirit, but like, you also had to leave, like, you do own a shit ton of the equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, yeah. That too. I mean,
I will say there was a bit of pressure with you not being there to be like, okay, we got to do this right.
Well, we knew we had to do it right.
$2,000 camera directly.
Well, I
also want to say that, like, I mean, huge shout out to you. Like, I've obviously only known you guys for, like, a couple of years. And to be like, yo, I have the trust of you to, like, give you my personal laptop.
Yeah.
With, like, all my shit on it.
We still don't
and
trust you
to not, like...
He showed us everything.
Jay came over my house and got my iPad, my MacBook.
Wow.
My...
Insane.
$2,000 worth of camera. And then literally could have just fucked off and never talked to us again.
Because
he showed up before all of you today, and I... Okay? I've known you for very long. Like you said... I had to watch you the whole time.
That's fair.
Make sure you're not stealing any of my
don't check my pockets.
Don't pet my cat too hard.
Don't touch my cat. Do not look at my books. Thank you.
It was like a really... Like, it's something that even if like you didn't really think much about it or whatever, or maybe you did, it's honestly fair either way. It was like... I really respected that. And I thought it was just like... This dude has so much trust in us as friends and respect that he knows that we're going to do this right. And he also knows we're not going to do any fuck shit.
No.
Like, obviously not. And you would like to be able to think, like, yeah, they're my friends, of course. But people suck sometimes. So just having that amount of trust was just, like, that was another thing that I did love. And I'm glad you brought that up because... Huge shout out to you and huge.
Huge shout out to you guys. That was fucking killed. It was
shout out to you. Huge shout out to us. And honestly, it was actually the smoothest run event so far. So, like, if you're really looking at it.
Yeah,
like,
if you have another wedding to go to,
right?
You
know, yeah,
like, people involved.
Yeah,
like,
right.
All right, well, Jay got a second favorite moment.
Sorry.
Wait, do you have. What was your second?
No, my first favorite was the Nick Penn moment, but Jay stole it.
Oh,
yeah,
I've
had three moments. I just keep talking.
Yeah.
That was
is Jay's moment.
That was truly class.
Yeah.
Ben, you're
I will
up.
Say. Oh no, I love. So I had an opponent. We're and
he plays this, like, this, what is it? The From the Vault Dreadnought? The Silver...
Oh, the Judge Foil. Judge Foil, right?
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's a nice Dreadnought. That's really cool. That's, you know, I know how much it's worth and all this stuff. Destroys me. I'm on Sly that day. Not you know, famously not, like, a great matchup. And then after he's like, hey, I knew your name looked familiar... You actually sold me these dreadnoughts at my job, and these like stifles that he's like blingy stifles that I also commented on, and I also looked at his name. And I'm just like, yeah, oh, fuck yeah, I did.
I was like, well, all right.
It's like he's like, yeah, wow, I knew you looked familiar. Yeah, it's like, but I will tie that into just the thing where like we were talking about earlier about when you saw like. When you first realized that things were starting to kind of blow up a little bit, blow up, quote-quote, around pre-modern in the area, was just people hitting me up for things like dreadnoughts and stifles and opalescence and stuff. when I'm selling people these cards, I can't help but ask them, like, hey, what are you doing with these cards?
What are you playing them in?
It's like, oh, yeah, pre-modern. I'm like, oh, cool, if you live in New England, you should totally hit it, you know, you should totally check this out. And like, actually, very recently, someone was just like, oh, and I told them about our, like, monthlies, and they're just like, oh, are you part of Dress Crew? Oh, and yeah, I was just like, all right, here, all right.
You got me.
And it all came around.
You said it was the infamous.
The infamous Dress Crew or whatever it is they said. I'd have to, like, actually look at the message.
You should start slipping in the fucking event flyers. It'd be like, oh, I'm mailing this to I'm mailing this thing to Natick, and I'm some dude's buying a playset of replenishes. Yeah.
Like, I will grab, actually, a stack of stickers, and I will bring them to work. I'll look through the TCG orders, and if it looks like a pre-modern pile, which you know, absolutely.
Oh, you know.
There are TCG orders that I pack where I'm just like, oh, interesting, three portents,
two gush,
three portents, two gush, and a foil, huh?
I wonder what's going on here.
I'm just gonna skip the rest.
Someone orders like some dreadnoughts and portents, and you're like looking at the date of the next regional, and you're like, maybe I could delay this shit.
That was the joke I made. Yeah, I wish I could remember his name, but yeah, my opponent. I was just like, man,
was it Lou?
Huh?
Was it Lou?
Maybe
Lou Salerno was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Did he crush you too?
To Lou Salerno.
All right. Yeah. Lou. Yeah, you crushed me.
And, I have one more favorite.
Yeah.
I got one more favorite moment, and I think it was after the regional where we had done the first stream.
Okay.
And it was Bryn's last regional, where he was playing with us, and we were all hanging out in the parking lot afterwards.
That was a nice moment.
Yeah,
we were just kind of. I think you were there for
it. Oh yeah, no, I miss him.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We all miss
everybody. Bryn. Misses Papa Bryn. That's Daddy.
He's real Daddy.
But we were all just like standing out in the parking lot in a circle and just kind of just like in disbelief at just like how amazing it had gone.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been the second regional.
There's a summer one.
Was it the summer?
Yeah.
Okay, it was
the
summer regional, whatever the fuck it was. We were all standing outside in a circle, just like amazing, homey energy, just kind of like saying goodbye to Bryn, and it was just like, I don't know, it was just a great moment.
Saying goodbye to Bryn because he moved.
Good
old Dr. Honey Mustard.
Yeah, but that was a really nice moment that I will not forget.
No, yeah.
Yeah. And, all right. Next question. What do you guys hope that players remember when they leave these events?
The vibes.
Yeah.
100%. I think every regional is sick because it feels like a sort of family reunion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a mini lobster con. It's like, you get to see that guy you haven't seen in 4 months.
True.
Catch up with them, see what's up. See
like the Mainers.
See them all the time, you know?
The,
yeah.
The main crew or people from like New York or just... Wherever they're coming in from, yeah.
Yeah, like when Carl and them came up.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yep. Hell yeah.
I hope they remember to tell their friends. Because that's what is so sick about this, is that because it's lacking WotC support, that this only lives on the basis of a sufficiently dense social network.
True.
Like, we're also tight now. But, like, some of us, like Brad, you, like, grew up, like hard grew up and have lived with members of Duress Crew, but like most of you guys, I just knew people you knew. Like, we can play the name game, you know, and get a couple hits.
Yeah.
And like, I was like vaguely aware of some of you people, but like it's because we have this like sufficiently dense social network. So like, that's what I hope people remember, is like, remember to tell your friends. I don't want you to bring your good local ringer. I want to bring you to bring your homie.
Yeah.
Bring your ringer too,
man. Yeah, we'll beat him and we'll beat both of them. Yeah. But yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Give them some Phyrexian dreadnoughts and stuff and see what happens. See if they do what Nick Pin did, never ever play pre-modern and just like a huge tournament. Smash everybody.
Yeah. No, I agree that vibes are one of the most important things about our tournaments. And I mean, I also guess as a TO now, I definitely want people to remember that like the tournament was just run well. I mean, I haven't gotten to play in the past couple of regionals, and I'm fine with that.
You've been there,
but I've been there, yeah. but it's just not getting to actually play in them. But I want to make sure that people appreciate that work and appreciate, or not just appreciate the work, but appreciate the fruits of the work. And I want, I will say, shout outs to the store that will remain unnamed that I played an RCQ at this last weekend. That was one of the worst run tournaments I have ever played in. And it's just, it's a bad experience. When a TO or a store or whoever it is doesn't really value the player's time and doesn't value the player's experience, it's not the greatest experience.
No lunch breaks.
No. All right, that we're staying by that. No lunch breaks. It is not happening. But I want everyone to come out and be like, you know, the prize split was fair. The event was well run. The venue was clean. The judges were knowledgeable. And these are all things that, you know, whether some of them we've been acing. Some of them are things that we're working on improving, but regardless, we're always moving forward, we're always improving, and at the end of the day, the players all have a positive experience.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Benjamin.
Hmm?
Skipping you?
What?
On to Ben.
What was the question?
The question was...
I got up to get a drink when you asked the question, I'm sorry.
The question was, what do you want players to remember after they leave our events?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you guys did a good job with that. Remember that pre-modern is actually the best format.
That's true.
And to get, again, yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent of get your local ringer, you know, your ex-pro tour player friend to come play this format.
Hell yeah.
They'll have a lot of fun, and we all welcome the competition, so
hell yeah.
Let's go. Let's make pre-modern... Let's you know,
the best thing it can be.
The best it can be. Yeah,
it is.
I love seeing the innovation. That's it. It's like that's why I mentioned like the top eight in our last quarterly. It was just like I love to see the innovation in new decks, and I really think it's like good brewers, good players is gonna bring that, and the more we can, you know, the more great players we can get with eyes on the format, you know, the better the format's gonna be, and that's just kind of how I feel.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Get them there.
Well, not skipping me. I'm with Ben. I don't think that I can say it much better than you guys. I think that I want players to remember the vibes. I want them to remember, you know, the high moments that they had at these tournaments, because pre-modern does offer opportunities for you to, like, outskill your opponent. And I just want them to remember, you know, those moments where they got that crazy top deck at the specifically Duress Crew Regional that got them the round win,
yeah,
and then got into the next round that got them into the top eight,
yeah,
or, you know, just everything about it. I think that you guys answered it, and it's hard to one-up anything that anybody else has said.
That's exactly it. Or really, sorry, Nick, real quick, but also to the people, I just want to shout out, like, bring your brew and, like, you know, maybe run good in the main, but also in the secondary event that I really hope we keep running.
The loser's bracket event, round four.
It's the consolation.
Consolation event, whatever you want to call it.
Fucking losers.
Brewers event, whatever. Listen, I've had two people tell me independently of each other, who are both notorious like brewers in this format, who said, "Hey, I scrubbed out of the main event and I had the most fun I've ever had at a Magic event in the secondary event after."
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, yeah. We're not branding it as like the brewer loser event, whatever it is. But like everyone, you know,
it's a rebound.
Magic is what you make it. Oh, yeah. And if, you know, if you want to bring, you know, mono blue dreadnought, if you scrub out with that, play it in the brewers in the secondary event, whatever. But if you're playing like fucking Merfolk or Slivers or some shit, have a blast, man. And that's just like another great thing about this format. It's like you could have easily gone 5-0 if you hit the right matchups with either of those decks. But also, it's like, you know, I've had a lot of people tell me they had a great time in that event. And like the whatever the constellation, yeah, event, whatever we're branding it as, but you know, so that's just another cool thing. I think
was a great addition,
and another set of good vibes that come from our core.
It's very good EV for your wife credit, because you said like, "Hey, darling."
Yes.
Like,
hey, sounds like a married man. Billy looked at me directly when he called me darling just then.
Yeah, there was a lot of.
Oh, and I
want to
say, yeah, while we're both taken.
Yeah.
So
you will say, so you'll be like, "I'm gonna, you know, like I have fulfilled all of my responsibilities, and I'm going to go enjoy our hobby because we both support each other in our own as individual people." And then you can go, and then you can eat shit, because, mm-hmm, and like then you can go like, "Oh, like," and you get to still, how do you say that? You're not leaving the arcade with the prize ticket still in your pocket,
yeah,
so to speak. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, sick.
I think it's a great thing.
All right, I think this wraps up this segment. We are moving on to Billy's data, and I'm gonna hand the lead off to my man here, my co-host.
Okay, so this was very much a year in review episode. So I ripped through the following tournaments. And this is partially meta-analysis. A lot of it is focused on players. These are like all New England people. So I'm talking about you right now because you have done well at one of these events.
Got about 3 hoes on my show. I'm trying to tee up Christmas Day. Won't you want some finger bells all the way? Hey, got them bells all on the shake. Hey, got about 3 hoes all the way.